Welcome to another edition of the Super Flight Podcast, your Wayne Tebow of NBA podcast, because kicks are beautiful, just like NBA basketball. That doesn't make any fucking sense. What's up, everybody? I'm your host, Joe Borelli, coming at you from my studio in Brooklyn, New York. It is, well, now it's Saturday morning, May 12th of 2018, and I'm doing this right before I get ready to go to work because I couldn't stay up long enough last night to do it last night. And since I often do my opening before I do the show, you're getting it second instead of first. So you get an early morning sleepy Joe Borelli. How's that? Ways to get in touch with the show. You can find the show at SuperFlightPod on Twitter. You can find me personally at Joe Borelli. You can follow along on the Almighty Baller Network. You can follow on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes. If you go into iTunes, please rate and review. I forgot to check to see if anyone has rated or reviewed the show in a long time. So you know what? Let's do this right now. Let's go. This is a live thing. And if there's any good things there, I'm gonna read them for you presently. How's that grab you? This is the early morning thing that we're gonna do. And by early morning, I mean it's 7:32 in the morning. I gotta get ready to go to work. So we're going to go into library, we're going to go into podcasts, and we're going to go to store. And in store, so in case you guys don't know how to do this, you type in Superflight, all one word, and you look. Why is there nothing in the here we go. All right. So then you click under Superflight, and if I'm doing this wrong, somebody please let me know, because there's got to be an easier way to do this, right? All right. Ratings and reviews. There is a new review. Oh, wait. No, there's not. All right. It's the exact same amount of reviews that there was before. So anyways, this is terrible. This is terrible rating. Terrible, whatever. It's terrible radio. Terrible radio. Is it radio? Is it podcast? I don't even know what it is. This is going to live on forever. And I'm going to be so embarrassed about this whole thing when I'm done with this. When I look back in my older age and think, what did I do with my fucking life? I sat here and tried to find a review online of this stupid show that nobody listens to. So thank you guys and gals for lifting my spirits this morning by not helping me at all. I'm totally upset, and you're all dead to me. But I still love you. Anyway, so go on to iTunes and rate and review the show. It'll help me climb the standings. It'll help other people find the show. What else? What else is new? So it's Mother's Day this weekend. I'm not only getting ready to go to work, I'm getting packed so I can go see my mom this weekend. Because I'm a good son like that, right? It's going to be a fun, rainy, dreary, crappy weekend. But it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I get to sit on a bus for a few hours. I was going to tell you guys the bus story that I had, but I think I might have told you already. I don't know. It's a weird story. Like, weird things happen on the bus, man. Weird things happen during travel all the time. I hate traveling. It's like, I live in New York, so I don't need a car. Don't own one. It would be such a gigantic pain to own a car in New York. My wife used to own one here, right? She had this car that she had to constantly move. She had to park it under the bridge so it would get like filthy with train brake dust and bird shit. The thing, like, I borrowed it from her a few times, and every time I borrowed it, I had to immediately take it to the car wash just so I could see out of the window. It was like I had to spit on the window and use the windshield wipers just so I could like see. That's how gross the thing was. But she had to park it there because if she didn't, she would have to obey the alternate side parking rules, right? Where you have to get up and move your car every single day to one side of the street or the other. Because if you don't, they can't sweep the street. And if they can't sweep the street, you get a ticket. So you get all these tickets. Like, everybody I know has multiple parking tickets for the car. I can't do that. I don't make enough money to be paying parking tickets like all the time. It's just silly. Then you have to pay for insurance. You have to worry about people backing into your car. You have to worry about being scratched. I've seen cars with their windows broken just for no good reason. Actually, when I lived in Philly, I had a Jetta. This really pissed me off. I had this Jetta that I loved, right? It was like a 90-something Jetta. And it was about, I don't know how many years old when I owned it, but it was a great car. Loved that car. I move into Philadelphia and I park the car out front of my parking or my apartment complex. And this is like the first weekend I'm there, right? Get up in the morning, go to get in my car. I'm like, it's going to be a great day. I'm going to go do whatever it was I was doing at the time. I go to open my door and there's a fucking footprint in my door. Don't get this wrong. It's not like somebody put their dirty foot on the car. It's not like they just took their shoe and like wiped it over. They kicked the shit out of my door. They kicked it so hard that there was a footprint in my door for no reason. Absolutely no reason. I just had a footprint in the door of my car for the rest of the time I owned it because I couldn't afford to get it fixed. It's a lot of money in body work. It was probably some drunk asshole just walking by and feeling the need to kick something. They kicked my car door. They kicked it so hard that they left their foot imprint in my car door. Cars are a pain in the ass. It's really not worth having cars. Although getting out of the city, if I had to go and take a trip, would be so much easier. Having said all that, in fact, you know, I used to have friends that when they were in high school and early in college, this is an example of what assholes guys are, right? Guys, when they're like, we were watching something last night. My wife, it's really early. I can't concentrate. My wife was like, we were watching a TV show and these guys are just beating each other up because they're guys, because they're just goofing around, because they're drunk and they're just acting out. And she goes to me, why do guys do that? She's like, I know you've done this. Why do guys act like idiots and punch each other when they're having fun? I'm like, I honestly can't explain it to you. I don't know. But yes, I've done it. Anyway, but I had friends who, when they were younger, they would just walk by cars and kick their fucking mirrors off for no reason. Just like, it just always made me so angry. Like, why would you do that? Why would you just walk up to somebody? I don't care how drunk you are. Why would you kick somebody's mirror off? Because you can? Because that's the thing. Guys are so stupid. Why are, especially like when you're in your teens and early 20s, you're just so fucking macho and full of testosterone and just like, I don't know, maybe it's not the shared experience for everyone. Maybe not everyone has people in their life like this. Maybe it's just me and I'm an aggro douchebag. Could be. But I feel like when guys are at this stage in their life, they're just like, they just want to act out. Not even an angry way. Just thinking it's funny. It's funny to punch each other in the face. It's funny to headbutt the fuck out of each other until you pass out. It's funny to kick car doors and funny to kick mirrors off of cars. Why? It's not funny. It's, I don't understand it. I just don't get it. I've done it. Like, I've picked up 250-pound men, and I'm a little guy, and, like, carried them down street blocks while I was wasted, ultimately falling over and falling into the gutter, which was even more hilarious, right? Like, it's punching each other in the middle of the chest just for, like, when the other guy's not looking. You're just like, bam! Again, most of these things happen while you're drunk. But, you know, there are the times when you're just hanging out and you're just punching for no reason. Guys are dumb. Guys are really, really dumb. If you're that age and you're listening to this, stop it. Stop punching each other. It's not. Don't kick any car doors. Don't knock any mirrors off. It's not funny. All right. Anyway, that was a long ramble about absolutely nothing. I'm sorry. Again, very early. I got to go to work. So right after this, Ashwin Kamath is going to come on, and we are going to talk about the playoffs and the Sixers and the Wolves. And check out Guy Doda at Guy Doda on Twitter, and check out Riding the Pine podcast. It's pretty good. So. You guys have a happy Mother's Day and hug your mom and say thank you for giving birth to your dumbass and buy her flowers and all that good stuff. And anyway, I'll see you guys after this musical interlude. Wait, I did the end thing. That's not right. I didn't mean to do the end thing already. After this, right, musical, I gotta wake up. Oh my God. I'm leaving all this shit in. It's ridiculous. After this little interlude here, right, we'll be right back.
For the fuck of it, so yeah, there it is.
Cool.
I don't know what it's going to sound like.
But are you recording only you, or are you recording both of us?
I'm recording only me.
Good. Okay. Then send me sure. That.
I will. Through that same WeTransfer software, right?
Yeah, totally.
Or program. Totally. Cool.
Awesome. Cool, man.
So,
Ashwin, welcome to the Superflight podcast. Again, the last time you came on, it never aired. Sorry about that, buddy.
Dude, it's all good. It was a wild time we had there.
It was really wild. We got wasted. We smoked all the weed. Did a little, yes. Couple of bumps. It turned into a party. There was some like dancers and No?
That just sprung off into a new career and inspiration that I needed to live. And, you know, I'm finding girls in the streets. I'm getting drunk every night. It's a good life I lead.
Good. The sad truth of the matter is that we both work way too much.
Yes. And we're both out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and we're both out of the playoffs. Yes. Hell. You had to go there right away, didn't you? Let's talk some basketball. That's why you're here. You want to talk some basketball with me. And you were gracious enough to come on this week when I couldn't find any guests. Actually, here's the secret. I wasn't trying.
Yes. Oh, you weren't trying.
I wasn't trying. I was like, you know what, man?
Oh, shoot.
I've been so plugged into the Sixers, their playoffs, and just like I've barely watched any other series. I went totally Sixers fan, fanboy, douchebag, and I just like,
Philadelphia Sixers, right?
Yeah, and I rode the emotional train of Sixers fandom.
It's hard to lead a normal life when you're in that emotional state.
It really, really is. It's really hard to care about any other basketball, too. So I was just like, fuck it. I don't need to do it this week. But here we are. Let's do it.
Here we are with the exact same like scenario that we thought of before the season even was going to start. Gold State, Houston, and Cleveland and Boston. It's like, why did any of this even matter, you know?
Why does anything matter? Why does it matter? Nothing matters. Let's talk quickly about Dwayne Casey's firing, because that's the big news of the day. And I felt like we should talk about that. How do you feel about the Dwayne Casey firing? Give me your thoughts, my friend.
Okay. I hope you have thoughts as well.
There's not a thought in my head.
I think this wasn't going to happen, but they got swept. So, in terms of, we can't just go into next season doing the same exact thing. They can't pin it on the players because they're paying them $3,000, you know. $300 million essentially. So we gotta pin it on the most successful coach in Toronto Raptors history, right? You gotta do that. Put it on that dude. He's gonna be the fall guy. It's always the fall guy. The coach is always number one that goes, and unless they're gonna do some sort of big, you know, bombastic trade that really blows up the internet and the country of Canada, like this was the thing that probably should have been done. And not that I don't think he deserved it or anything, but they did it early enough to give him a chance to find a new job this season even. And I think in terms of like the culture, kind of like I don't want to put him on the same platform as like a Sam Mitchell, Mark Jackson, you know, type of like family oriented coaches that like really care about they are, you know, player oriented coaches. Mm. I think they did him justice by giving him a chance to find work before next season. And you know, I think Mark Jackson and those types of coaches only can get a team so far. They can't really do the Brad Stevens, the Greg Popovich's timeout ATO. Let's get a play. Let's run a system that's going to get you a bucket. And you're going to see that for years to come that teams can only go so far, and then you face a LeBron. And I think he might just be kind of the result of LeBron being in this conference, right? So.
Well, and I think that's the thing, too. I think that's what everyone's saying right now, too. It's like, here, this is going to be the second time that a coach wins Coach of the Year and gets fired in the same season.
He's going to win, right? He's going to win, undisputed. From everything, it's going to happen.
It's absolutely going to happen. By the way, I think he had an incredible season. I think what Dwayne Casey did in Toronto was pretty impressive. He got these guys to buy into a whole system. And what's more impressive is not only did he get them to buy into instituting a whole new sort of system up there, he actually changed his play calling, his style of play. And for a coach who's been doing this for that long, that's damn impressive.
That's
like
great.
He does deserve a lot of credit for that. I think he is a really good coach, and I hope he does land on his feet. And you're right, I didn't think about it like this, but they did kind of do him a favor in letting him go in that there are all these coaching vacancies available right now. He has time to go get something. So, you know, maybe it'll work out for the best. I think that it's a shame. He shouldn't have been fired. I honestly think they fired the wrong person. They need to get rid of DeMar DeRozan. They need to. By the way, you said, this is my thought. And it's, I don't think this
Where's
is a really
foghorn?
Hot take. Yeah. I don't think this is that hot of a take. Yeah. But
You can't fire a player.
Yeah. I don't think this is that hot of a take, but, like, really, like, we've seen what DeMar DeRozan is. We know what he is. And, his sphincter got tight in the playoffs. I'm sorry. But I'm not a big...
But so everyone's LeBron's gets tighter in the playoffs.
Exactly. And it is absolutely true that Dwayne Casey is a casualty of LeBron James. Everybody, every team is a casualty of LeBron James. He's killed so many teams off just by being LeBron James. But honestly, and you were saying, like, you know, they have to pin it on the coach because they can't make a move that would blow up the culture in Toronto. But, like, do they even have that player that they can make a trade that blows up the internet? To be honest, like, I think I'm going to give you a chance to talk about this, but I don't really think that DeMar DeRozan is the guy. He'd be a nice second or third piece, or maybe third or fourth piece, right? But I think, you know, his game is what it is. He took how many three-point shots? He changed his game this year to add the three-point shot, which was great, but he hit zero in the series against the Cavs. It's like,
great point. I will go and say this is a career year for DeMar, and every year he's added something new with his game. He's only going to probably, since history has shown, get better. Yeah, Kyle Lowry was 28? Kind of... Yeah, so he's in his prime, on the verge of...
He's going to get much better.
Get much better. Okay, fine. So you shut me down there. Here, shut me down here again. Kyle Lowry, I don't know why that's so hard to say or pronounce, but he was a nobody, became a somebody in Houston. Couldn't shoot in Villanova, I remember that. Like, Randy Foy was the better prospect, and, you know, how that turned out. And Kyle Lowry became an all-star in Toronto. Like, he became someone in Toronto. A lot of it probably due to Dwayne Casey, a lot of it due to the partnership and basically the popularity of those two carrying a team for years. Oh my god, like, in the 2000s you had the Jailblazers, you had the Kings, you had the Wolves, you had all these teams that couldn't get past the Kobe's and the Shaqs. You couldn't get past the Tim Duncan's and the Spurs. You just had to deal with it because you're as good as you are. You can't get that third final or that, you know, franchise type player other than what you have, because by the system, by the era you're in, you have a LeBron in front of you. I feel DeMar might not necessarily be the person to be moved. He probably could. He has I think he has recently signed a new contract, and it's like $28 million every year until like 2021 or something like that. And like Lowry is very similar for the next couple of years, maybe even more.
But here's the thing. DeMar is 28. He can still get you something back. Like, people would be happy to put him on a team that's contending for something, right? Yeah. As this, I mean, I don't know exactly what you're going to give up for him. That's the thing. But he's their most valuable trade piece. At least he was.
Who wants to come to a Toronto team? Who wants to come to a Toronto team without DeMar?
Well, Kyle Lowry's still there, and I still think Kyle Lowry is the better player. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
But the thing is, Kyle Lowry doesn't really have much trade value because he's 32. He's going to be 33 in, I think, March or something. And, like, he's got a big contract, and it's not – I just don't know what you do from here. And, honestly, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking, like, is Dwayne Casey's firing – is that the end of this? Is that really what they're going to do? Or do you think other things are coming? Because I feel this is the first of many moves.
I think I agree with you, and I was going to, like, tweet back at you with some random gif, and then just, like, ran out of reception, so I was like, fuck it. So,
I'm glad.
You're not
so
the only one
forget.
Is what
Thank
I was
you.
Trying to find a gif for, and it was like, I don't really care that much. I'll say this. This is definitely setting the stage for this is the final year. If nothing happens within the pairing of this duo, maybe even by trade deadline next year, there's got to be something that is moved. Honestly, my like, you know, what the fuck internet kind of play is that, like, let's, like, merge Washington and Toronto. They're very similar teams, and they haven't really done anything independent, or even, you know, we can't really tell if they're going to do anything together. Let's see if, like, they're throwing in Fred VanVleet, right, in the three-guard lineup. Let's blow it up. Let's go OG and Serge. And I don't know who else would be a proper candidate here for a trade for Beal. And get Beal and Lowry and DeRozan and run DeRozan at the three and just have a run at it with a really silly, almost overrated trio and see how far they can go. They do need to configure their front court, but I don't know how they're going to get it done when their front court is owed as much as they're getting owed, and no one wants an Ibaka. No one really wants a Jonas Valanciunas. And OG is their best asset on their team, and they're not going to rebuild without him. But if they want a fucking championship team, if they want a championship team.
You can swear, it's fine.
All right, if they don't.
Nobody listens
anyways. Win. Hey, man, I listen on occasion, and then I turn it off when you talk trash about my wigs. But oh, I got so emo after that, actually. Anyways, then.
Wait, what?
The TJ McConnell for Andrew Wiggins. Get off my. This is my favorite storyline.
Sorry,
of the
did I
season.
Touch a nerve with that? All right, look, I'm sorry. It was just a joke. I would never TJ for Andrew Wiggins.
Neither would I. Oh, okay. Hanging up. This is your podcast. It ends right now.
Go on.
Okay,
there's clearly the better place.
If you're going to rebuild, you rebuild with OG because he's phenomenal. What he did in that series, even though he didn't do a whole lot, like statistically, the fact that he's a rookie guarding LeBron for 40 minutes is unbelievable. One-on-one, which is a mistake by Casey. The fact that you didn't make any adjustments by in Casey's, you know, standpoint. No double teams, no reconfiguring the defensive scheme. Just let LeBron run over you. They had to do something. Fred VanVleet's not the answer. Let's figure something else out. OG held his own as a rookie. I love it. I love him as a player and as a prospect. Agreed. Maybe he has the highest value that can be traded for something that could help them into contention. I doubt it.
I don't know, man. I think you keep OG. I think you keep OG. You get rid of the if you can dump the big salaries and start by putting pieces together and getting some draft picks or something, and like just you got it. I don't know if a full reboot is the thing, because listen, going from a 56 win team to a 20 something win team would really suck. And
yeah,
there is something to be said about, you know, being the number one conference seed in the conference. There's something to be said about like having home court advantage, about getting into the playoffs every year and giving your fans something to cheer about. There's a lot to be said about that. Mm-hmm. Not everyone can win the championship. It's really freaking hard. If it was easy, everyone would do it, right? So there's something to be said about that. But at the same time, if you know what your ceiling is, like maybe it's time. And and think about it this way too. Even if they got past LeBron, even if they beat the Cavaliers and they went to the championship,
there's another.
They went to the finals.
Right,
it's over. It's over. Nobody's contending with the Warriors.
They get swept by either team, and that's what's frustrating, and that's hard to kind of absorb and digest. But you need that piece to completely change the game, and if you don't have it.
Yeah.
If you're not a Golden State, if you're not a Houston, if you're not a Cleveland, I'm sorry, the season was already written, you know, like in a way.
Yeah, totally. And this is where this is where the ownership and, you know, even fans sort of have to make a decision. Like, is it worth hanging on to this thread of
glimmer.
Hope? Or is it like, let's blow it up and start it all over again? And, you know, blowing it up and starting all over again doesn't mean you're gonna get a LeBron James. It doesn't mean you're going to get a... I hate to say a Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons, but
why not? Minnesota traded Kevin Garnett and got a whole bunch of something that turned out to be nothing. The only thing existing in the league right now is Gerald Green on the Houston Rockets. Like that's I think it from all of that overhaul from Kevin Garnett. I feel like, you know, those trades like Blake Griffin, like all those stars that can get traded. The return is it's so, I don't know, like almost borderline pathetic, because you're not going to make a franchise-changing move with these all-star players. And you saw it with OKC. You're seeing it a little bit with the Pelicans. Bringing in DeMarcus Cousins Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but what about like Indiana?
That was an amazing feel-good story. That was an amazing feel-good story.
But yeah, for every one of those, there's like six that don't go right at all.
Yeah, and you just got to hit it, and you got to be super lucky, and that's the whole point of this. Like, they are in Toronto, out of luck, out of time, facing LeBron every year. They can't do it, and even if LeBron has the weakest team he's ever had, probably, I think this might be the weakest team he's ever had.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's still a LeBron-led team, and I'm finding myself respecting LeBron more for just... turning it on when he needed to, figuring out how his cadence is for the season, and then kicking it. And doesn't matter what your wishes and what your goals are. I'm just going to take it over, and I'm going to go into the finals for the ninth straight year. Like, it's so stupid how insane and remarkable he is. And that's the undoing of Toronto. I feel like we can just keep talking in circles here about Toronto.
Yeah.
I don't really care that much about this team. I do.
Neither
care.
Do I.
I kind of sympathize. I kind of sympathize with the fact that they went hard and they got an Ibaka.
Yeah.
You know, that's how hard they went, and they're not going any further than what they did to this year. And I give them one more year. A brand new coach and potential offensive scheme, which I don't think is going to really change anything. And just one more look at it, and by trade deadline, if they're not peaking, if they don't see, you know, a new level for them to reach, they're going to probably bag it in, as you say, trade DeMar DeRozan for what? What would they trade him for? Fucking picks? Who wants? I guess he's probably the biggest bait, huh? Biggest bait.
Listen,
for picks.
here's my dream. I really hope that the Lakers go after DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
Because
he's a USC guy.
Well, yeah, it's mostly just because I want to laugh at the Lakers. That's it. That's
sure.
Like,
I'm sorry,
Lakers fans. You know I don't hate you. Your team is fun and they're young and they're up and coming. But, man, that would be just such a funny story for me. Because he's like Kobe Bryant 2.0, except for half as good. Anyway, so let's move on. Let's talk about – do you want to talk about the Cavs in Boston quick since – we're doing that anyway? All right.
Yeah, I mean,
since we were talking
goodbye
about
Toronto.
LeBron. Yeah.
And
goodbye,
we'll see
Toronto.
You next year. But yeah,
maybe we should
Cavs
talk about
Celtics.
The Sixers loss first. I'm afraid if I talk about the Sixers, I'm just going to like go down a rabbit hole and it's going to be a Sixers podcast, but
well,
give me your thoughts
know.
About the Sixers. How do you feel about how their season wrapped up? How do you feel about adjusting
well, it's been
48
hours. I'm still mourning. I'm still in mourning.
That's fair.
I root for the underdogs when my team has no stake in anything. So I always love rooting for teams that have no star player, that are just like out running, out gunning, out playing their competitors. And so
you were rooting for Boston.
So hold on. So I was rooting for like Miami in a weird way because Philly was kind of dominating that series. I picked Philly to go to the finals, so I'm wrong, right? All the way wrong. But I was rooting for Miami just to kind of like see if the series can be competitive, because I enjoy that out of anything else. I don't really care who wins. Boston surprised the fuck out of me. Actually, I said the best player in that entire series was Giannis. The best next 2, 3, 4 players in that series, which was Milwaukee and Boston, it's got to be on the Celtics, but they're rookies. Like, it's so ridiculous. I'm struggling to see how this was going to play out. So I picked Milwaukee over Boston because Giannis is going to take over this league and whatever. Never happened. Didn't happen. So I was
I'm getting this sense that you're really bad at forecasting series.
I'm terrible. Yeah. And so this Boston-Philly series was going to be super fun for me to watch, but I thought it was just going to be a complete annihilation by Philly. Who's going to stop? Who's going to stop Embiid? Who's going to run into Ben Simmons and take that charge? Like, Marcus Smart was injured, I think, for the first part of that series, or maybe I'm misreading it. Anyways, I thought it was going to be the exact same thing. Your offense is remarkable. It's super electric and also erratic at times with the three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. But they have a stable giant in Embiid, and he's fully healthy. He has a mask. He's kicking ass. I thought there would be nothing that could stop him. And apparently, Aaron Baines and Al Horford, which I always have thought he is very stable, steady, but super overrated. I'm wrong. I'm like always wrong. And why am I in basketball podcasting when I'm being wrong about everything?
Well, don't worry. We all are all the time.
So I just thought this was going to be a Philly domination. And the fact that it went like 102, I thought there was a slip up here and there. Like, you know, a Robert Covington 3 here or there could have switched game 1 easily. And I thought you know, Ben Simmons didn't have the greatest of series. That's okay. He's a rookie. That's what's crazy about this whole fucking thing. And they game plan, like Miami game plan their entire game plan around Ben Simmons as a rookie. That's just...
You mean Boston?
No, I'm talking about Miami. And then now Boston also had to kind of change their philosophy and kind of run into him before he was set up and like have a defensive scheme around him that did it better than Miami. And frustrated him to the point where he was still doing really well, and you guys were always in every game. Like, that was the crazy thing. And I think I take away the fact, even though that you lost, you've won everyone over. Like, everyone was rooting for Philly anyways, actually, besides Boston fans. And it was 3-0, and no one could do it, right? No one was going to be able to do it. And you guys got game four. Holy crap, this is going to happen. Like, that's what I felt. I felt this new air. I thought something was happening. Ben Simmons has figured it out. He had a really hot game five. But then that fourth quarter really pissed me off. I feel like, A, they ran out of gas. B, the shooting wasn't there to begin with. I think Redick had an awful game, just from my base memory. And if Ben Simmons didn't do some, like, really stupid, like, flicks, like, you know, those hook shots he does, or those flick passes that went out of bounds, if Embiid didn't get careless with the ball and pass it to Redick out of bounds or something, if Redick made that three, there's a lot of what-ifs, which I hate talking about. This could have been a 3-2 series, and it still could have been happening right now. Like, in my opinion, it could have still been happening, but a little bit of luck, fortune, you know, favored Boston in those moments. And I just think, you know, all I was going to conclude with is I really thought, even though it was 3-0, Philly was going to make this into a 6-game or 7-game series. It just felt that way because I felt like they were slowly figuring it out. And I'm sad. I'm a little upset that I wish that Philly was facing Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals, because once again, I just felt like Embiid and Simmons can just have the world is their oyster on that court versus the Cavs, because I don't feel like Kevin Love is defending anything, and I don't think you're going to want to play Tristan Thompson against Embiid. So, like, my heart was with Philly this whole on the whole Eastern Conference side, but it sucked that they lost. But I felt so good about how they played and how they're going to end up with a very similar team next year, super composed, and, like, they're the new East. Like, it's going to be Boston and Philly. That's going to be so much fun to watch for the next few years.
I hope so. There's a lot to unpack there. I was going to say, like, really, Philly, with a couple of they should have been up 3-1. Honestly, the table should have been turned. But what happened was exactly what we expected to happen. Well, not everyone, but kind of what I expected to happen, because I watched every single one of their games all freaking season. They're awesome. They're really talented. They're super fun and young, and they're really young. And they turned the ball over too much, and they're really young. And you saw it when it came down to the guts of the game, when in thinking game three, when Ben Simmons grabbed that rebound, the offensive rebound.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Went back up with it. He didn't have to. He could have pulled it out. Yeah. They could have won the game. They could have been down 2-1 at that point, and they could have gotten – it would have been 2-2. Like, just simple little mistakes like that. Embiid really needs to work on his conditioning. He was winded at the end of the games, man.
Yeah.
And Horford, let's give Horford a lot of credit. Maybe he's
credit.
A little overrated, but he's also incredibly skilled on the defensive end and the offensive end. He's just a solid vet, and he's really good, man. Like, you know, I've liked Al Horford for a long time. I also felt that he was a little bit overrated, but man, he showed me something this playoffs. It's like if you're taking Embiid on and you're shutting down Ben Simmons, you're good. And the thing for me is, like, I was going to tweet this out before the series even started, but I didn't want to come off as a negative Philly fan, and I didn't want to be an asshole, but I was just about to tweet. I was like, does it feel like a Cleveland-Boston series is coming up, or is it just me? And I didn't. I deleted the tweet. I'm like, I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to be like, the series hasn't even started. I'm like, but I just kind of felt like if there was any team to take advantage of the Sixers' turnovers and their young guys and their boneheaded plays. And listen, Brett Brown also got outcoached. He did not rotate his players out properly. He did not stop playing Marco Bellinelli. I love Bellinelli, but I love Bellinelli coming off the bench as a role player. Not Bellinelli, like, playing 30 minutes a game trying to win you the game on shitty shots and giving up everything on defense, right?
Oh, man.
I love Irsan Aliasova. He'll hustle and he'll get you those offensive rebounds. He'll take charges like crazy. But, man, he needed to play TJ McConnell more, and he ultimately figured that out.
Yeah.
He needed to play a little bit too late. And, listen, I love Brett Brown. He's going to grow as a coach, too, just like the young guys are going to grow.
Exactly.
For me, I just think it's – there's the talk about it, readjusting expectations, right? We all expect when the season started, I guess that they were going to have 38 wins on the season.
Sure.
They came out and won 52. They were third seed in the East. Yeah. And then we readjusted our expectations after they went on that 16 win, you know, streak. And we're like, wow, they're all going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Contenders.
Yeah. And the whole time in the back of my head, I'm thinking, Not so fast. They're still really, yeah. Well, like, don't do it. You just always know, man. Like, I have not picked against LeBron in 7 years.
Yeah.
And I'm just not doing it. Just not doing it. Until he doesn't do it, I'm not picking against him. I don't care who it is.
Sure.
Anyway, that was our Philly thing. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Cavs and Boston matchup?
I mean, kind of, but I just love what Philly is representing because they've went through a whole shit ton of eras and the process, and I kind of want your like take on where you are right now, either as a fan or of what is actually on your plate as a Philly team, Philly franchise. Is Fultz going to be like this dude that actually is going to spark this into championship contending?
No.
LeBron dethroning. Is this the exact same team going to reappear again next season? Is there going to be a lot of overhaul? And
there's a lot of thoughts. Here's where I'm at. I'm going to tell you where I'm at right now with this team. Yeah. Right now, in this very moment, I'm kind of glad that they're out of the playoffs because I'm not stressed out anymore. Like, it's fine. Yeah, it's good.
For you.
I got way more than I ever expected. I said from the beginning, if they make the playoffs and they're out in the first round, I'm going to be super happy because it was a successful season.
Yeah.
They made it to the second round, and they took it to five games.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. The other thing is, Brian Colangelo is about to have the most important offseason of his adult life.
Yeah.
If he fucks this up, he's going to set this team back for years.
Yeah.
And it could end up being an Oklahoma City thing.
Oh, type of situation.
Where they lose, James Harden.
Wow.
They thought they had all this promise, and they just blew it. If he screws this offseason up, which I am so worried about, it could set them back for years.
I'm worried about that, too.
There's so much potential for this, like for them to get a marquee free agent, to maybe even get LeBron, Paul George. Paul George is not coming to Philly, just so everybody gets it out of their head. Kawhi. Kawhi's probably not coming either.
Why not? Why not Paul George or Kawhi, though?
He's just going to L.A. Paul George is going to L.A. He's pulled his kids out of school in Oklahoma City and put him in school in L.A. He's going to L.A.
It's just to tease all of you guys, you know?
And, LeBron has actually been – apparently he really has been, like, having people look at schools around Philadelphia. So I don't know if I buy it or not. Yeah, but whatever. I feel two ways about the whole LeBron going to Philly thing. We'll see.
Well, I know that they have a ton of money registered for this offseason, and I feel like to make a massive play, and you can even throw in Fultz, like throw him in into a trade to see what you could probably result in. I feel like
it's true.
Counter to Toronto, how do you go to a Toronto team currently as also, and if you trade DeRozan, how do you get someone to play in Toronto, want to buy in on that? Ben Simmons is like the wet dream for any fucking free agent. He doesn't really want to score. He wants to give you the ball.
Without scoring.
Yeah. Why wouldn't Kawhi? Why wouldn't Paul George want to play with that?
They're in the East, not
in the West. And you have a system kind of waiting for someone like you, Paul George or Kawhi, to take you to the top. I feel like, why not Philly?
Here's my nightmare scenario. Are you ready for this? And I'm so scared to death. I don't even want to put it out in the ether.
DeMar DeRozan,
I'm so scared.
In Philly?
Yeah, Markelle Fultz and their pick for DeMar DeRozan.
Oh,
I can see Brian Colangelo doing that. What?
I was just kidding.
No, I know, but I could totally see it happening. Toronto wants to start fresh. Get Fultz in there. Get a pick. And Philly gets DeMar DeRozan. I would lose my ever loving mind.
I would lose my mind.
And that's what I'm afraid that Colangelo is going to do. This is how little faith I have in this guy as a GM. Anyway, let's move on from this.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Cavs in Boston before I work myself into a frenzy.
I will say I don't think that happens. So,
I hope not. Man, I hope not.
Sleep well, my friend. Cavs and Celtics. Good job.
All right, Boston, let me ask you, who do you have? People are starting to say that, like, Boston is really good. They're really well coached. There's a bunch of scrappy guys on this team. They could possibly take it to Cleveland and beat LeBron.
Yeah.
I am not buying it for a second. How do you feel?
Okay.
And by the way, I will ride this train to the end. They are not beating LeBron. I will look like an ass and go down with the ship. I am saying it right now. There's no way Boston is getting past LeBron.
Don't even care what I have to say then.
I do. World. I really care, but I'm just telling you that I'm going to look like an idiot if it actually happens. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm taking the Cavs as well because why the fuck not? I've been wrong this whole time. And what I really want to have happen is Boston going to the finals, so let's go Cavs, right? Like, let's pull a Charles Barkley here. I don't care too much about the whole drama around the Cleveland team this year and every year surrounding LeBron. And I've really, like, fallen in love with some of these players on Boston, and I just kind of... I hope that they have a money issue and they have to, like, let go some of their players so then, like, Minnesota can have some of them and have success and enjoyment. And hopefully. Probably not, though. But all I want to say, though, is I want this series to go 7. I want it to go to the distance. I actually want the Cleveland Cavaliers to win because I want LeBron versus Golden State. I want that matchup so bad just because I want to see...
Fourth year in a row.
For the fourth year in a row, fuck it. I want it again because it's such a fun little storyline. LeBron and Trash wins a championship, you know, with Kyrie and Love and all that. But this year, I feel like if it's Golden State and Cleveland, it's going to probably be a sweep. And this series, the Boston and Cleveland, is going to be a really fun test to see where Boston can go from here because they're going to get a Kyrie and Gordon Hayward next season. How far can they push a LeBron-led team without those two dudes, knowing that they're going to have that next year? If they fold up and get swept, like, how does that end the season? Like, they did as much as they could, but, like, I think, you know, Brad Stevens, one of the best coaches in the NBA, probably has been sleeplessly studying LeBron film and figuring out certain ways, certain counter moves, moves to those counter moves, in case this is the setup. For the second year in a row, it feels like it's not, though. Back-to-back, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, Boston and Cleveland. This last year just felt so different. And I don't care about how this team in Cleveland has kind of come together and in the last 7 games of the season, like, had this nice little streak of success, but only really found it in, like, the first round of the playoffs. And, like, Kevin Love came alive in the later portions of the second round of the playoff. Like, I hate that, and I wish that this team was as good as Philly coming into the postseason, but they weren't. They were kind of, like, waiting for the postseason.
And I don't even know if they were that. I would say they were legit trash.
Yeah.
They were, like, terrible on defense. They weren't doing anything. Yeah. LeBron was the only thing doing any, like, the only person on that team doing anything. He willed them there himself again.
Dude.
And, like, it could speak volumes about the East being so bad. He doesn't really have a challenger and really hasn't had one for the last 8 years. But it could also just be that LeBron is that good. And even if he was in the West, he would still maybe, well, he's a little more competition. But
yeah, there's some narrative floating around that he knows your plays more than you do. And I think that's probably true. I think he spends $1 million on his body. You know, he prepares for these moments that he knows what's going to happen. He knows when to take plays off. He knows exactly the moment where, you know, 8 seconds left. Toronto's not going to double team me. I'm going to run full court and get a fucking, you know, floating running hook.
Off the backboard.
Backboard, like, bullshit game winner. He practices
that. It was an amazing shot.
Ridiculous shot. I have so many thoughts on that shot. Anyways, I'm just going to go ahead and say Cleveland is going to take this series, and it's probably going to go, in my wettest of dreams, 6 or 7. But, if Boston doesn't have the know-how to compete with the shooting that Cleveland apparently has with Kevin Love and George Hill, and, of course, Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith, well, they saw a little
about
bit...
about Rodney Hood.
And Rodney Hood. They saw a little bit with Philly, right? They saw, like, what a three-point shooting team with dominant, you know, forward and Ben Simmons kind of running show would be like. So they have basically the B squad version of that already in their book. So now here's the real test. Like, can they actually, you know, compete against the throne and LeBron? I want that to be. I want it to be. But my thoughts are the Cavs are going to win. I think I said that like 20 times now. So
yeah,
you want more of my thoughts?
Okay. No, it's fine.
Neither do I.
I mean, that's why you're here, to get your thoughts. No, I just think that, like, in the same way, as you were saying, the same way that Boston has just the personnel to match up with Philly, they have a bunch of about the same size guards, 6'8" guys who could just fly around the court and shut everything down. They're really, really good on defense. And it's been overlooked. I think they finished the season number one in defense. They have a bunch of guys who can switch on anything. And, like, Jason Tatum, he's legit.
Fucking remember.
Jaylen Brown, I freaking love. He's super athletic. Marcus Smart, man. Like, he's one of those guys that you freaking hate him when he's on somebody else's team. But if he was on your team, he would be your favorite player. But since he's not, I hate him. And, like, they just – Terry Rozier, scary Terry, has been incredible this playoff.
He's my love.
The only person that we saw shut him down was TJ McConnell. So if it takes that caliber of a player to shut down Terry Rozier, I mean, they don't have that on the Cavs. They're in trouble. Actually, George Hill is going to be a problem for them. Now that he looks like he's healthy again, he's been a huge upgrade for them. Kevin Love has found his shot. Tristan Thompson is probably going to give you something. But J.R. Smith, he always waits to the big moments to make those huge, crazy shots, man. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I at the beginning of the playoffs, I thought that this was the worst team that the Cavs had ever put around LeBron. But it's not true. That 2007 or 2009 team was just dog shit. Whatever year it was.
Okay. So, well, I don't know, man. I forgot that roster. But I will say, like,
You're going to make me cut out the long pause in the between, huh?
Yes. I got to make you work for this, yes.
You know what? The joke's on you. I'm not cutting shit out.
Good. I want to hear that pause, that sweet, sweet pause. Kyrie Irving got traded for Isaiah Thomas and others, and none of that's on that team. All of that got traded out, except for Ronnie Hood, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., and none of them are playing. It's just like... It's the leftovers and LeBron from last
year. Jordan Clarkson's getting some run.
I think it's just kind of filler minutes. You got to be honest. Like, he's not really having a role here.
No. And Larry Nance Jr. is a solid backup, man. He's like,
not,
you know,
playing anymore. He's not in the rotation. He hasn't played in that entire series. I think he maybe played like 10 minutes. Yeah. They played that.
Wow.
They played Tristan Thompson. Hey,
don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone, but I barely watched any of that series.
Good. You didn't need to see that series.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. After the first game, it was over. Like, nobody's watching. I don't care.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, let's move on to the West real quick. We're running really, really long already. We'll talk about Houston and Golden State. This one starts on Sunday, I believe, right? Yeah, or is it Monday? It starts on Monday. They're milking the shit out of this playoff. Oh, my God.
Jesus, 3-4 days. Let's get some hype videos going. I am hyped for this series because I've wanted to see how this would play out. Why did Chris Paul go to Houston and all this other junk, right? They wanted to face Golden State at full strength, and Golden State is at full strength, ready, rested.
Mm-hmm.
More important than anything else, they are rested as fuck. And how they went about it, like, all their star players never played more than, like, 70 games or something stupid. And, you know, the Curry injury, you know, he's back. So it's not like that big of a deal anymore. And I have a lot of thoughts about how this series is going to play out. But I have a feeling this could easily be like a 4 or 5 game series in Golden State's favor. No matter what Houston can do, they're just so in. They're just so in their own heads that Golden State is going to trounce right over them.
Do you think Houston is? Do you think they're in their own heads?
I think so. Because I think...
They haven't even played a game yet.
And that's already happened. It's already begun.
It's already done. Haven't played a game. It's series already.
They're already recruiting
LeBron.
I
actually said that I really think that Golden State's going to sweep, man.
Yeah,
I mean, Houston's been great all season. They're a really great regular season team. But if you just look at the component parts of each team, forget it. Like, you've got two players and
Capella.
Maybe a Capella. You got two players in Capella on Houston. Thank you. And Golden State has all of the Hall of Famers and all of the bench players. And it's like they have the Hamptons 5 lineup. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're not going to do shit. You got Trevor Ariza on the wing. I'm sorry. It's not going to get it done.
No.
Houston, all the State Farm commercials in the world isn't going to get this done either. Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, it must be infuriating going into this, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're so close. You are the best team in the West for the entire season, right? You got the number one seed, and, like, at times they looked unstoppable. Their defense has been so much better this year. They're just an offensive juggernaut. all that, and you're going to run up against Golden State.
I know.
And like,
congratulations.
And Golden State has just been like, yeah, congratulations. Golden State has just been cruising. They've been doing jack shit. And then in the last series, they're just like, well, maybe it's time to turn it on.
Maybe it's time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always said kryptonite in for Golden State is like the bigs of like Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins and things like that. They don't have to face any of that with Houston. I feel like the pressure's on Harden. Every fucking play, he has the ball in his hands. It's just nonstop pressure. There's no pressure on Golden State. If it's Curry's has a bad bad shooting night, it actually doesn't matter because Klay Thompson will be on. And if not,
and if
Kevin
Thompson's
Durant
off,
will be on.
Kevin Durant.
Like, and the MVP of the series I've already decreed is going to be Kevin Durant. No one can stop him. They have the bodies. They have PJ Tucker and Luke Mbembute.
They have the cheat code.
And they have. Exactly.
They have the cheat code, man.
That's the cheat code, exactly.
And this is really
left, right, Andy start.
Except for what?
It's like the contra code, left, right, up, down, whatever.
Sorry. It's contra. It's been a long time. no, but like it's sort of upsetting. I mean, not really upsetting. I mean, it's fine. It's whatever, you know. But like, I feel like a lot of Golden State Warriors fans feel this way too. It was more fun without Kevin Durant. Like there was something like
there was something in the
like
air.
There,
yeah,
it was a more organic team. It was a bunch of guys who like loved playing together. Were they grew together and they learned how to do it and get over that hump together. Mm-hmm. And they were still nigh unstoppable without him. And then you add Kevin Durant and just like. For starters, Kevin Durant is so unlikable at this point. Like I can't stand him anymore. Like
he can do no
you're
right.
You're the most triggered freaking person. Would you just shut up? Stop tweeting. Stop going on Bill Simmons' podcast. Like you're one of the three best players in the entire goddamn world. Shut up. Oh man. So he's not my favorite player anymore. But like just. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to watch this team. It's amazing to see them play. But honestly, there is no fun in it as a viewer. There's nothing like it's a clinic every time. Like I know that doesn't. There's nothing to work towards. Maybe we can hope that this Golden State Houston series is actually competitive. Because if not, like
we hope so.
I just there's nothing to watch for. Because if they walk right through Houston, they're gonna walk right through the Cavs.
Right.
And might as well just crown them right now.
Yeah, I mean, the same sentiment goes to Houston. Like, I can't watch Houston. I find no joy watching how they play and how they run the most ridiculous non-plays in basketball ever, which is just waiting
just
for
constant,
something. Yeah, constantly
just
ISO,
constant
dribbling
searching
between
for
your
fouls.
Legs. Yeah. And then the fake basketball that happens, the meta of that's James Harden, like, trying to reach for contact and try to, embellish everything. Everything's a travel for James Harden, so it's really hard to, like, really root for them. And they bitch and moan, like, why? Why do it? Just why play these extra types of games within the game? Mm-hmm. Golden State does it, too. You know, I hate it. And I hate rooting, and I hate watching them. But Kevin Durant just kind of plays his game in the system, and especially when Curry and Thompson aren't on, like, he can be a distributor if they are, but he can just take
when
over
is
the
that?
Game if they are not.
When are Curry and Thompson not on?
Not
just
on,
tell me. Have you seen
this? They're shooting, yeah. Well, I've watched, there are days and that they struggle, but it's never really apparent because Kevin Durant takes over, right? So you just see
the
box score
too.
And like, they won, right? It's not that big of a deal, but how they won sometimes, there's a little bit in the process of it all. I will say that they don't have really many answers for KD, as I said, and I think they're going to probably try to expose Curry on defense, but Curry's just going to fucking guard Ariza or Tucker, and that's what it is. And if you're going to go away from CP3 or James Harden to, pound the rock against Curry, congratulations, they've outplayed you already. So, like, CP3 has to score 30, Harden has to score 35, Capella has to have 15 or 20. Like, that hasn't been shown in the playoffs already. They've taken games off. They've struggled from three. They're not going to be able to play half their bench because they're so unreliable on D. And it's just going to be this five of Houston grinding out games when I feel very, very clearly that it's just always going to be in Golden State's favor.
Yeah. And
Golden
I'm sorry
State
to
might not necessarily be as deep. Eric Gordon might be this huge X factor. Who knows? Golden State's not that deep bench-wise. But they just
I do like Eric Gordon, though. I've long been a fan of Eric Gordon. But yeah. I was gonna say, like, I apologize to any Houston fans who might be listening to this.
Whatever.
I'm not trying to bury your team. On like they've had a great season. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's been like in the same way that I have to accept the Sixers series loss against Boston, who I fucking hate.
Yeah.
That's not to say I hate Boston players. Like I really like a lot of their guys. Their coach is amazing. All that. It's been an amazing season. Houston should like, and hey, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally wrong about all this, and Houston will win the series.
Yeah.
I fucking doubt it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I would love to be proven wrong. I would love to see something else happen. Like, I love parody more than anything else. I want others.
I think you would like to be proven right at this point, wouldn't you?
Sure. But I don't want Houston in the finals. I don't want to see their product succeed and, you know, succeed Golden State. I just feel like how they play, and they'll probably beat Cleveland in the finals too, with just how insanely rushed offense they have. That wasn't really English, but basically they run such a faster pace than Cleveland that it's just going to be hard for them to keep up. And I feel like they have the bodies to do so against Cleveland to keep them in contain. But I just really want to see Golden State and Cleveland finally duke it out for the fourth time, hopefully final time. And I just think it was written from the very start. And they didn't have to make many moves. The biggest move they did was like fucking pay $3.8 million for a fucking draft pick that became Jordan Bell. And then now they're like jostling between the starting five. Like, who is that fifth starter? It doesn't fucking matter because they have 12 centers on their roster. And anyone can do that job. So it's like Kevon Looney, who might actually start. Like, that's what's unbelievable about this. He might actually start. Zaza's probably not playing anything in the series. JaVale McGee might play spot minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, they might do the Hamptons five. Like, I wouldn't surprise me. But I think probably more predictably will be someone like a Kevon Looney or JaVale McGee starting at the five. Because I think they'll just...
against Capella.
Yeah, because I think the Draymond relationship on D there is for him to really kind of be the kind of like the D back, you know, kind of like, or the safety, kind of like seeing what's going to happen and help everything. If he has to contain Capella, like, I feel like that's just going to be that's not going to go in his favor. But ultimately, I think it's going to be a sweep or five games. Like, I'm sorry if we keep talking about it ad nauseam.
No, it's okay. All right. Let's one more topic. Let's move on to one more thing. Let's talk a little bit about your Minnesota Timberwolves. How did you feel the season wrapped up? How do you feel about your coach? What do you think they do this offseason? And how do you feel about next season going into the year?
Oh, my God.
After
this was the most stressful season probably of my entire life. You probably
felt
it, too.
They made the playoffs.
You probably felt a little bit of, hope and glimmer of hope. And, yeah, you're playing with me right here. You're like trying to find some words that I'll say, and it's not going to be right because it's just going to be a hilarious joke. Dude, they're not going to win a championship with this current roster. They don't know how to fucking play in Tibbs' system, and Tibbs' system is outdated. I hate it, but I have to appreciate it, and I have to see this run through. I have to see it run out, however it happens, because we've had so many fucking coaches, so many regimes, so many players come in and out of Minnesota and never want to be here. So, like, I just want to see this core just play through it all. And win or lose, I don't fucking care anymore. I'm tempering all my expectations to no expectations. The success in the season was in January, and the fall was when Jimmy Butler, had his knee injury versus Houston right before the All-Star break, essentially right after the All-Star break, rather. That was when we were the highest, and everything was downhill. Everything was 500 ball. And I'm so frustrated because I didn't see a whole lot of growth. I just saw a whole lot of implementation of something that's super, super stubborn. And you have to play this way. You have to watch Jimmy ball. And you can't get an offensive set running because we have to watch Jimmy play ball. Like, I was really frustrated with all of that. Defensively, I feel like we even took a step back. And I just think without the expectations of who we can bring in, because we don't have a Ben Simmons to feed everyone, right? I don't know who we can even bring in, and I'm frustrated, but we got into the playoffs, and that was a success. I felt really good about that last game in the regular season. There was a couple moments where I just kept rewatching those games. I watched certain games a dozen times because I'm freaking stupid. That Houston game 4, Game 3, rather, was everything to me. It just made, validated why we are as good as we are, but can't really compete, ultimately. And I saw Toronto get swept by LeBron. Like, we are worse than Toronto. And our peak ceiling is worse than Toronto. Wiggins cannot be a DeRozan right now. Cat can't be an Embiid, or Cat can't be a Shaq-type player. So we have nothing except for hope. And we've always had hope. And I hate hope. And I kind of roll back the years and kind of think about what if. But, like, we're here, and, you know, we lost a coach due to cancer and everything. And I just feel like the play out of how this is unfolding is probably not what it was supposed to be. And I'm okay with that. I'm kind of learning to understand and absorb it all. I hope with this whole exodus of every fucking coach that we just did, we let go of everyone recently. We're going to have a brand new staff except for Thibodeau. Hopefully something sticks. But I would like your thought. The best thing that's happened is Jamal Crawford is no longer on our team. And I'm excited about that, I suppose, like, as great as he was. I'm just going to temper my fandom, not be as stressed about every fucking game, not rewatch games, not, like, dissect the stats and the plays, and just watch when I can, be a little bit more casual, and get excited when we are probably going to return to the playoffs next year.
Is Thibodeau still doing the GM role as well?
He's the only one left.
Relinquish? Yeah.
He's the only one left.
So I think that's a bad move. I think they need to take that from him, because he keeps getting his guys from the Bulls. He keeps getting retreads that are not going to help your team. And even if you're set in your way, and, like, I think Tibbs is a smart guy. If you've ever heard him on podcasts, he's a really intelligent human being.
Yeah.
He understands how to learn. He just does not implement it. And, like, he's not, he keeps, you know, he's talked about, like, learning, like, growing as a coach and learning not to run your guys into the ground. I'm like, he's going to destroy those players. I'm sorry. He's Carl Anthony Towns, by the way,
apology accepted.
he needs a developmental coach. He's got all the freaking raw talent in the world. If that guy does not end up becoming a superstar, lay that play completely shame on Thibs.
Yeah.
Lay it completely on his shoulders. Andrew Wiggins, I don't know, man. He's an anomaly. The scoring
is
potential is there.
He's my anomaly.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade TJ McConnell for him.
You think I'm kidding, man?
But I'm serious. Yeah. What? TJ has so much heart. Like, I don't see that out of Andrew Wiggins. I see a guy who just fades on the court, and something that you will never, like, even if you can't play, like, even if you can't hit a shot, and even if you're, like, not the best player in the world, you're limited by height. TJ McConnell just has so much spirit. That how could you not want a guy like, they need one TJ McConnell on that Wolves team. They really do.
We kind
of
have
Jimmy
one.
Butler is supposed to be that guy, but he's more of just like a put you in your
you're
place.
Comparing
kinda,
all
like,
of my all star players to TJ McConnell.
Damn you.
I have such a long ways to go to be a TJ McConnell fan here.
Anthony Towns could not hold it. No,
hey, can 15 TJ McConnells take down a LeBron? I'm not sure, man.
No, absolutely not.
You need
Nobody
a little spice. You need a little variability. You need a little Andrew Wiggins in your life.
Yeah, fair, I guess. But it took four freaking All-Stars and a couple of Hall of Famers to take down LeBron. So what are we talking about?
True. Well, I will say I can't wait for Andrew Wiggins, and I will keep saying that every year in the offseason. I can't wait for him until he proves you wrong. That day may never come, but he will prove you wrong someday, probably, hopefully. And the way that DeMar DeRozan... Yeah, I hope you better. The way that DeMar DeRozan kind of gelled late into his career, like he slowly became who he is as opposed to he was already. Ben Simmons is going to improve a lot, but you kind of see a little bit of his ceiling. DeMar DeRozan, you thought you saw his ceiling, and then he's been the best self this year. And I'm just hoping that something comes out of Andrew Wiggins that's going to be like, you just got paid, you got kind of exposed. The media is talking about you in some negative fashion. Are you going to take this and run with it? Are you going to just fold and play with your dog and let everyone keep talking trash about you? Or are you going to do something that's really monumental? And I hope it's that. I hope it's the latter. And I hope Kat, like, gets out of Hawaii and starts training and bulking up. Everything that Embiid and Simmons are, Kat, and Wiggins, I hate to say this, aren't. And they need to be stronger. They need to get more refined in their games. And Wiggins needs to do literally everything. He needs to dribble better. He needs to run better. He needs to show more effort. He needs to shoot better. Fuck this. He's a 60% free throw shooter. You need to get better at every aspect of your game. And if you don't do
it... There was a time during the early process where, with a couple of rolls of the dice, our rosters could be completely flipped.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
Sixers fans were kind of pissed at one point that, like, you guys got Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns, and we're sitting here with Joel Embiid injured for the second year in a row, and nothing else to show
for
it.
And you should have been pissed, right? Like, yeah. You were probably pissed. Like, is Joel Embiid going to be, you know, Andrew Bynum 2.0, where he doesn't actually even fucking play a game for you? Like...
Oh, it was scary.
That was a scary time. I know that.
But it's just, and that goes back to the thing we were talking about originally too, with blowing it up in Toronto, man. Like, you never know.
You never know.
A roll of the dice. You never freaking know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Listen, Spida Mitchell is 13th pick of the draft.
I love him
like,
so much.
That
Ooh.
Dude is insane.
Yeah. And so many teams passed up on him, and he's been the most beautiful thing of this NBA season, honestly, and taking a team that was like 11 or 12 games under 500 into the fucking 4 seed or 5
yeah.
seed, I guess.
Well, he didn't do it alone. Rudy Gobert had something to say about that. But anyway.
Sure. I will say definitely they needed a scorer, and he was that dude. And as a rookie, unbelievable. I want something like that to root for on my team as like a Minnesota enthusiast. I want someone like a Terry Rozier or a Marcus Smart or TJ fucking McConnell or a Donovan Mitchell to root for. Like, I don't have that right now. Anything that was there was taken away or stripped away or basically resolved as a, you know, sit in the corner and wait for your turn kind of play by Tibbs. And I'm hoping that things change.
Fair enough. Listen, man, we should wrap this up. I still have to edit this. It's 10 o'clock at night and I have to be at work in the morning. So.
Good mind, my friend.
Ashwin, tell everybody where they can find you and tell them about your podcast.
Yeah. Because I have a podcast, apparently. I am in Seattle. You can find me here all of the days. I'm on Twitter. My handle is at Guidota. I don't play video games anymore, but that's what that handle was about. We can talk about that later some other time, some otro dia. And I run a podcast. Used to be very frequent. I've taken a break because I've been so damn busy. And it's been kind of nice to not necessarily have to podcast. But anyways... Podcast is called Ride the Pine because we are terrible at making predictions. We are at the deepest part of the bench and we just talk trash to each other. It's kind of fun. It's actually been a lot of fun this season. But as the playoffs kind of picked up, our schedules have really been a counterpoint to each other. So anyways, we're hoping that we'll get back on speed, but it's been a lot of fun podcasting with you, man. And I love your podcast. Every time I listen to it, it's been always a joy. And I know that you have a lot of fandom behind everyone here supporting you. So keep going. I love that you just keep going. Every week, you just keep going. I don't think there's a week that you miss.
There's been a few. It's tough sometimes, man. Like, it's...
I know.
I don't know if I should record this, but, you know...
Well, then don't record
it. It's a long season, and, like, it really gets to you sometimes. You know this. But anyway, I'm going to stop the recording. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Ashwin, everybody, go check out Aki Dota. Thanks again, Ash, for coming on. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.